Thank you for returning to your seats. One thing I neglected to tell you about our missions conference meetings is that there will be a nursery provided. Okay, so if you have a young family, that is not no reason to stay away, because there will be a nursery for you. Okay. One of the things that I appreciate about Christian workers, whether they be pastors or missionaries or whatever, is when people are real. When you get the sense when you talk to them that they're not just talking a big game, but they're letting you know what the Bible does with the heroes of the Bible, that you get the good, the bad, and the ugly, right? That's one of the reasons I believe the Bible is the Word of God, because if you read the ancient literature other than the Bible, you don't get the good and the bad and the ugly. You just get the good. Oh, this person was such a great king. This person was just so wonderful. But the Scripture deals with truth, that there are times when the people of God make mistakes, when the people of God sin. And I call that just being real with life. We don't come together as perfect people bouncing off of each other's outer layers. We come together as people who realize that we haven't arrived before God. Well, many years ago, I read a little booklet called The Pineapple Story, and I was impressed by the fact that this missionary told the good, the bad, and the ugly about his experience on the mission field. And I thought, you know, someday I'd love to meet this guy because he's real. And lo and behold, he's here this morning. And so I am so glad to welcome Otto Koning here with you. Otto was born into a Dutch family, moved, similar story to mine. He was 12 when he moved to Canada. I was 10 when I moved here to the States. And then he went to school in the United States and met his wife. And they wound up in Southern Virginia in Chilhowee over the years. But Otto served with TEAM in New Guinea. He knew quite a few Alliance missionaries that served alongside at the same time. And I am just really glad that God has brought him here. Contacted him through Pastor Larry, who also has asked him to be involved with his missions conference. And so, Otto, we're grateful that you're here with us this morning. Thank you.
Would you turn to Ephesians 6, please? I'm going to read a few verses here before I tell you my story, but my experience in the jungle, where I learned many, many things the hard way. And I learn better that way. Maybe some of you do too. I don't know. Ephesians 6, we'll read verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Then would you turn back to Ephesians 1, please. Ephesians 1, and there I'd like to read a few verses from starting at verse 18. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church. These portions that we've read are to do with spiritual warfare, and in New Guinea, we found that so true, the people were possessed, all of them. I would believe all of them, all the ones I met anyway. And I came there as a young missionary with my wife, and I'd never experienced such a thing. And then this comes true, doesn't it? We wrestle not against, your eyes become enlightened to the realization of these people just stole everything I had, and some of you told me about that, you heard the pineapple story. But they took advantage of you. They invited you to preach, and we missionaries are called to preach and to bring the gospel, but then they attack you when you're on the way, and so on. So every day you leave home and you say, God, I don't know when I'll be back, and you kiss your wife goodbye and you head up out for a village, and you don't know what's going to happen. And so we are encouraged then to die to ourselves, aren't we? Doesn't it say we're crucified with Christ, and we're supposed to be willing to die for him? And that I learned that the hard way. But finally, I went through the jungle one day with a young man that carried my pack, my things that I would need. And he made me walk first because, well, the log pack, logs that floating on the mud in the jungles, these are in the southern swamplands. Your Alliance missionaries were in the highlands. And when we needed a break to get away from this, we'd go up there and stay with them a little bit, and they'd encourage us, and we'd go back. But I went through this swamp. You're walking on the log. I have very little coordination. I just wasn't blessed with, I can't make my arms and legs go together good at the same time. But anyway, I couldn't stay on those logs. And so they would always say to him, you go first. You go first, and we'll go at your speed. Well, that's nice of him, but I found out that later the underdog always goes first. He gets all the wet from the branches. He gets all the snakes on the path. He gets all the thorns and bugs and whatever, you know. And so nobody really wants to go first, but they made that excuse. So I'm walking first with this fella called Nimrod, this young, I don't know how old he was, they don't have age, you know, they don't have anyway. I walk in first, and he screamed at me at one point. See, sweat was running in my eyes, and you just, after a while in those swamps, you just don't look for any snakes anymore. You don't look for anything. You just plow on. And you got to just trust the Lord to take care of you. And so he screamed at me. He says, Tuan, you dumb. Not only your feet are dumb. They always called my feet dumb because I couldn't walk on the logs. But that's not so bad. But your eyes are dumb. Tuan, you crossed the demon snake, the hoi snake. The snake you should never. Tuan, you're going to die now. Hey. What do you think about when they say that? Tuan, we'd never cross that snake, not anymore. It's a yellow snake. He's about that big around. And I don't know how long or big, you know, he was, but. And he laid across the path. I looked back. I just, you know, I thought it was another route or something, and I'm just plowing on. And I looked back, and he says, Tuan, do you want me to leave the pack here, or do you want me to carry it back to the village? I'm not going to cross him, Tuan. You're on the wrong side of the snake. And I took my stick, I had a balance. I had always had a good stick with me. And I started turning around, beat that snake to kill him. I thought, man, I got to kill the snake, so he'll come with me. And I wore myself out on that snake. And then he says, I said, come on, Nimrod, he's dead. Come on, let's go. I wasn't sure he was dead. At least he'd start laying still. He was. I never did see his head. I didn't know which end was which. I said, come on, let's go. He says, oh, Tuan, I'm not going to cross him. It's worse crossing a dead one. Now, he saw me wear myself out on this thing. And I said, well, detour, go through the swamp. We can't do that. We can't do that, but they can. And I said, make a detour. He says, I'm getting out of here. And I said, and the guy did it. As a miracle. He that was one of the miracles of this whole thing. He came out ahead of me, black man turning pale, if you can believe it. And he is scared to death. And he says, Tuan, what are we going to do? I says, let's go. God impressed me to go to that village of Saharin. And he says, Tuan, they're so wicked over there, we'll never get out. Tuan, you're a fool. I says, well, I'm going to pay you for carrying the pack. How would that be? He says, yeah, but I don't want to be with you when the demons start screaming at you until you die. I said, how do you know they will? He says, they always will. Now, this was their tradition. Some of the old ones had believed that, and so nobody ever crossed. When they encountered a snake, they go back, and they don't look for food that day because they'll go hungry before they cross it. And so he says, Duan, I don't want to be with you. I says, well, you've got to come. He says, well, I'll follow you, but I'm not going to be close to you. You just keep going. I said, well, choose what you do, but make sure you come, because I don't know. I want to get back home, tonight. So I plow on, but I surely got caught up on my devotions that morning. You better believe it. I prayed, and I confessed all the sins that I hadn't committed, ever confessed. I confess sins I hadn't even committed. I mean, I was so anxious. Hey, have you ever been anxious to be right with God? Really right with God? Have you ever been in a place where you say, God, I'll confess anything now? And I prayed, confessed, prayed again, confessed again. I said, God, I need you if I ever need you. Well, he knew I needed him, because I crossed the demon snake, and the demons can make it happen. The devils can make things happen, and it's amazing. That's why I read this to you. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. And when you're in a place where it's all controlled by Satan and always has been, and you come in there, if you were Satan, what would you do? If some peon, foreigner comes in there and tries to convert those people. I mean, this is not going to happen as far as Satan is concerned. And so, but I read to you the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe. You've got to believe some of this. And so I prayed, and I turn around, he's coming away. Many times when we're winding around, I don't even know where he is, but he's still coming. And then once in a while, it's a straight piece, and there I see him. He left plenty of room. When Satan's going to attack me, he's not going to be anywhere near that, see. And that's, I went on for another hour. Oh, this was a 2.5-hour swamp for me to get to that village. I had never preached there before. They were a wild bunch. I didn't know that the main, biggest headhunter, whole ruler of the whole place, lived in that village. And his name was Sabo. And so I went on another hour, and nothing happened. Now, isn't that neat? You think, well, here you must be a Christian, and so the demons have no power over you. I wasn't so sure about that, because I confessed enough sin that I didn't sound like the greatest Christian, that's for sure. And after about an hour, he came closer to me. And I said, Nimrod. He says, Tuan, I've got to go to the washroom. Now, there's no washrooms in the jungle, but you know what I mean. And I got to relieve myself. And you just keep on right going. I'll catch up with you in no time. Your feet are so dumb. So I catch him. And I never thought of it. Here that boy leaves me, and I'm alone. I go on a bit further, and that's where the screaming started. The screaming, now don't ask me after service what Satan used, what screaming of animals, or what's, it was so loud that it just blew me off my log, so to speak. And I'm going down in the swamp now. I'm sinking in, and it's so loud. My heart was beating like a drum. I could hardly breathe. I thought, first thing goes to the mind, this is death. This is where you die. And as I was grabbing for something, I was trying to hang on to my stick, but it was going down too. And I said, what would you do? You call on the Lord, don't you? What did Simon Peter do when he was sinking into the water? He screamed, Lord, help me. And that's what I said, Lord. He said, Jesus saved me, I think. But I said, Lord, help me. I cried. I had never prayed that loud in my life because I figured God wouldn't be able to hear me over this noise. But that's not true. He lives in us. I could have whispered that prayer. But it just feels good to, and I yelled, Jesus, help me. And he didn't do it. You know what he said? Do it yourself. Resist him, he'll flee from you. Now you've read in James 4:7, resist the devil and he will flee from you. That is mighty wonderful verse. One of my favorites now. Because he doesn't like me, Satan doesn't like me telling this story. Because it's given victory to other people. And anyway, I cried out, Jesus, save me. And he says, resist him. And I thought, no. You'd think God would help you out and do it for you. Didn't he grab Peter by the hand or something and pull him out of the water? Anyway, you think he can do it so much better. Can't he handle Satan better than I can? But who am I anyway to resist Satan? But that's what the Bible says. Now, do you believe everything in this book? We should believe everything. And so, I'm a Dutch Reformed, you know, we're very conservative, we don't even believe there is a devil, you know. So, I said, God, when you're sinking in the swamp and you've got 15 seconds to live, maybe only 10, maybe only 5. You don't go saying, our tradition, we don't do this. This is not our thing. Okay. And then, yes, I married a Baptist, and I'm a Baptist by marriage. But we don't even talk much about the devil. I worshipped in Alliance Church for quite a while. I'm not going to say any more. I worshipped in the Mennonite church. I was looking for where in the world is truth, you know, that can help me. And friends, I did what God said. I had read that in the Bible. Resist the devil, he will flee from you. Satan as a roaring lion goeth about whom he, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith. That's 1 Peter 5:8 and 9. I read those verses. So I guess, well, there's nobody here to hear me talking to Satan. That wouldn't have worked in my fundamental Baptist places. You know, you'd just about lose your support. You know what I mean? Yeah, and we missionaries, we're concerned to keep our support, right? We don't want. And so, but I thought, like, I haven't got much to lose here. I'll never tell this. I probably won't live long to live to tell it. So I said, Satan, in Jesus' name, I resist you. And you must flee from me. And Nor stopped right then. Nor stopped. That's why I'm alive today. And I'd never done this before. That's the first time I ever talked to Satan. Jesus told me, you resist him. So I didn't dream this up myself. Resist the devil, he'll flee from me. And the noise stopped, and the quiet, it was so quiet that it almost, and I found a stump while I pulled myself up out of the swamp. But now I found the strength of the Lord. And when the powers of darkness leave, the strength of the Lord came. And I pulled myself up one leg at a time, and the stick hit that log again. And I could climb up the stick, as it were, and get back. And I sat down on the stump, and my heart was still beating. And I said, thank you, God. It is true. We resist the devil, he will flee from us. Well, why should he have to tell me that or illustrate that when we are supposed to obey the whole thing, right? That's right. And that's where Nimrod found me. He says, say, what's the matter, Tuan? And I said, the demons screamed at me. He says, I told you they would. They're going to scream at you again if you go any further. Three or four times, and you'll be dead. Well, I almost felt dead the first time. How can they take that three or four times? And I said, he says, what did you do? I said, in Jesus' name, leave me. I resisted him in Jesus' name, and he left. Come on, let's go. He says, no way. I said, come on, he's fleeing from us. He's getting further away all the time. That's what the Bible says, isn't it? He's fleeing from us. And miracle is, the guy kept coming. He followed me even further back. We went all the way. And I was thanking God and praising God. And you know, the thanking and praising God does more for you than the confessing. Yeah, we got to confess our sins too. But that gives me more faith. When we rejoice in the Lord, we receive faith, we receive strength. And the longer I went and I rejoiced in the Lord and sang and went until I almost forgot about the whole deal. At first I thought, man, he's going to attack me again. And never did. Got all the way through that swamp. And Nimrod got there with me. We got to the big village. There was no church. We met in the biggest house there was. They're up 4 feet, 3-4 feet from the ground, all tied together, the floor with vines and so on, and bark floors and palm stem walls. And we were in there. This Sabo, this big chief, sits right across from me. He's, and the two lesser chiefs sitting on each side of him. And I sat down. I was too tired to stand up anymore. And he says, "Tuoni, if you're going to speak to us, get it over with." In other words, get out. And Nimrod spoke up, and he says, "You know what? Tuon crossed the yellow snake, and he is still alive." And they all got everybody's attention. He crossed the snake. He's got a power that is greater than the hoi. That's all the demons, the hoi. He defied them, and he commanded them to leave, and he never came back. He says, he's got a power that we don't have. Boy, the attention of the whole crowd. And I preached the gospel. Whose message do you think weighed heavier upon those people? Those few words that Nimrod had said. He's got a power that is stronger than hoi. In other words, is there a victory possible to help us against the demons that powers us? And he got hold of that. And we went all the way back through that village, and I told. Now then, I preached this very simple message, 3 points. Jesus died on the cross for you. And I still use that when I lead a person to Christ. John 3:16, believing. And then John 1:12, receiving. Well, no, the confession of sin, repentance. 1 John 1:9, forgiving, getting a forgiveness. And then the third one is receiving the power through the Holy Spirit as he comes in. All right, that's what I preach. Now, I had their attention. They want to know what this power is, okay? So that they don't have to fear and go without food and turn back every time. And it was a dozen other things. You know, a certain chirping of two different birds at the same time would just shut them down and they'd flee. And all these fears that they had. And so they wanted to know the answers. So I told them, I preached this message after Nimrod talked. And then I said, is there any one of you who will take the hand of God and start walking with him and start following him? And Sabo, the biggest chief, stretches out his hands and grabbed my hand. He says, I will follow him. He had so many wives. He had killed so many men and got their wives. He was the biggest. Now he was a dying man. That's why he told the men to call me. I'd never preached in that place before. And he told the men to call me. He was filled with the filaria worms, the elephantitis. His scrotum was as big as a volleyball. I mean, he was just, his legs were swollen up. He's a dying man. He says, I want to take the hand of Jesus. I want to walk with him. I says, all right, there's 3 things you got to do. Do you believe that he died for you, as I explained? He says, yes, I believe he died for me. Wow. I said, are you willing to confess your sin? The things that, man, he started confessing his sin. The first guy I killed was from Jufo, that, and the one from Suhai, and then the one from Taboy, and then he's naming them all. He claps his hands when he got to 10. He got his right foot up there, started on the big toe, and he remembers all of the people he killed. You know, we remember our sin, don't we? The Lord does that to convict us and to. He got 15, he got the other foot 20, and then he didn't know what to do. That's how far you can count. He don't have any more toes and fingers. And so he grabbed my thumb. All of a sudden, he grabs my thumb. He says, Tuon, that was the last one I killed. I was already old. Can your Jesus forgive me? What's the answer? course he can. Yes, he can. He forgave all our unrighteousness, everything we've ever done. And I said, will you pray? And he says, I don't know how to pray. I said, I will help you pray. I'll say it, and then you say it after me. And we went through this prayer believing, Lord, I believe that you died for me and all that. And I've confessed my sin. No, I didn't have asked him after the 21 murders if he had done anything else wrong. Because I thought, man, time's getting away. I mean, I think if God forgives him for those, he'd probably forgive him for the rest of it too. What do you think? Cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Anyway, so he said that. And now the third one, received a clean spirit, the Holy Spirit in you. You know, receive him to live within you. Can you imagine a guy that's got demons all over? And he's going to ask the Holy Spirit to fill him. Do you think this is going to work? And I that was the third point. You've got to ask the Holy Spirit to fill you. You've got to receive him in your body. I wonder what they're all thinking now. And so I said, will you ask the great clean spirit? Okay? That's what they call him, the great clean spirit. And he says, and great clean spirit, come in. And then he added something that I had never told him to say. He says, great clean spirit, come in, and all you wicked ones get out, because you can't both be there. You'll be fighting inside of me. Now, he got a point there. I used that from then on. Hey, when you ask the Holy Spirit to come in, you command those demons to get out. And I never cast out a demon in my life. Now, my wife did, but I never did. And she only did it one time. You know, we're teaching them that you have the power in Jesus' name to command the demons to go. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Do you believe that? In other words, that's what he said. And so we can command him. That's why we can resist him and he flees from us. He has to. We don't have to fear the evil one. God has given us the power to believe, the power to overcome sin and the evil one. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. It is real. And man, that's what he said. And your evil ones get out. And then you could see his face changed. Here's a headhunter. A wicked man. All the chiefs are wicked men. The most wicked guys start to rule. And so then the other chief sitting beside him, he says, me too, me too. And I thought, man, I got to go through this whole thing again. And I said, me too. I said, okay, you pray now. And he prayed, real. I looked at the third chief, he's stone-faced, he's not going to move. So I said, okay. Now the men, the women didn't even get in the house. We probably had about 40 in the house. When I said Jesus can forgive the chief Sabo, they all said, no way, no way. They all laughed and yelled. And man, they shook that house and the vines of the floor started snapping. And man, we're almost going down. I said, everybody. Well, they jumped off the house like off a sailors off a sinking ship. I mean, they just, and they lightened, and no more vines snapped. But then, you know what? I went on to teach the ones that remained, and they all came sneaking back in, one by one. They totally overflowed this thing. I said, now, if you're all going to be in here, don't say a word, don't even breathe, just sit there, just hold still. Otherwise, we got, this is what you call hanging in there, you know. And so we hung in there. Anyway, this other chief, he wanted to, now The third chief never moved. The men of the first chief said, we want to take Jesus' hand. Okay, you don't come up here, we don't move. But just say, ask Jesus to come in. Do you believe? And they all said, we believe. You know, the whole thing was because of what Nimrod had said. He's got power. No, it started before that. When we resisted Satan, when I resisted Satan, Satan fled, and he hadn't come back yet. And is he still fleeing from me? I mean, that was, years ago. But wouldn't it be nice if we could all do that, and if you only had to do that one time? But it says, be steadfast, unmovable, always. We're steadfast, whom resists steadfast in the faith. That's what you see in 1 Peter 5:9. Resist steadfast. In other words, continuously, whenever necessary. He keeps attacking. Oh, if it was only if we could make him flee one time and he never come back again, we'd all do it right now, wouldn't we? And get it all over with. And man, that be free. No, it's not that way. He's going to tempt us again. He's going to attack us again. But we have the power to overcome it. Him. On the trail there, it was when he attacked us, we resist him. We're on the defense. He's attacking us. But now we have the power. And this is what I want to talk about when I have more meetings in the area. I'm with the men on Saturday morning, right? And then I'm speaking at his church too. But the offense of victory over Satan is binding and loosing. You've read that in the Bible, haven't you? Matthew 16 and 18. All right. That's the offense. Now we say, Satan, no interference in this meeting, so that everybody can hear truth. You see, now we're telling him, no interference, so that people can hear. That's what changed our ministry. People now everywhere, possessed people sitting still, listening and hearing and turning to Christ. Village after village. And friends, there's a lot of people in America that are blinded too. You know, it says Satan blinded the minds. Okay, that's what we're talking about. Blindness can be removed in the name of Jesus Christ. The Lord is not going to do it. He's waiting. The Lord could save the whole world in one moment of time. He could have everybody so convicted and turn to him. He could reach people far better than we can. But he isn't doing it. Why? He wants us to have the joy, the experience of seeing it happen. He's sharing his power with us. We have it in the name of Jesus Christ. I see some of you believe in me. That's good. I'm in some churches where nobody believes me. Can you believe that? You say, well, did you lose your support? I don't need support anymore. Hey, at my age, folks, nobody can fire me. You could lose your job as a preacher or whatever you are. I've got nothing to lose by telling the truth. And so it's a tremendous thing. But anyway, that those two chiefs, their men, believed. I'd had only two converts in the first 6 years. It was struggling. There was a reason for this, and I can't go into that. But nothing happening. I couldn't quit. There was a reason why I couldn't go home and fail once again. My father said, you'll never amount to anything, so and I'm trying to prove that I can do something. And that was the blessing that kept me there. That gave me the, I'd rather die than fail again. And with that attitude, that stimulates faith. And you see, I didn't die yet, and I've gone through all kinds of situations and all kinds of threats and all kinds of problems, and I'm not dead yet. And now I'm 83 years old, and I'm not dead yet. But I look forward to meeting the Lord. But friends, hey, I just praise Him for the power that we can use now in binding and loosing and so on. Oh, there's more to Christianity than what a lot of people think. There's a victory that you can't explain. So anyway, 40 people were saved. Two the first 6 years. One day, 40. And the next week, in the next village. And it went on and on and on. And I think of missionaries that have been on the field. I remember reading stories about missionaries in Pakistan, one of the roughest places in the world. And they've been there for 30, 40 years and haven't won anybody to Christ yet. And we praise them for their consistency, for their, you know, their, what is the right word? Perseverance, yes. And they haven't got it. But they were never taught to use the name of Jesus Christ against the powers of Satan. And they never got anywhere. Dear people, persevering. But oh, I came back the next time, 2 weeks later, went back to the same village. I walked home after that victory that day, after leading all these people to Christ. I wrote down their names, and I was thrilled to death, and I sure didn't walk home like a Dutch Reformed. I didn't even walk home like a Baptist. I'm glad you didn't see me. You would have said, man, I wouldn't have got to preach in this church. Maybe I would have. I don't know. But 40 converts told my wife, revival came. Went back 2 weeks later. Can you imagine me coming to that same spot where the demons screamed at me? I walked right through. No interference. Got to the little river before I entered that village. Guess who came to that, met me at that river from the village? There was a man there. It was the third chief. His men had said, why don't you follow Jesus so we can follow Jesus? See, they don't do anything unless they do the chief, you know, has to go first. And so the people were on him. Look, why can't we take the hand of Jesus and walk with him? And he was pressure on him now. So I crossed that little river there, and there, on the sand of that side of the little river, he says, I want to follow Jesus. And I thought, was it the pressure of his people? Or does he really want to? I don't know, so I lead him to Christ. Right? And I led him to Christ. The people were watching from the village. When I got into the village, his people got around me and said, me too. And they were the third chief, that third bunch of people. It was a big village, almost 1,000 people. Three big farms. And then I led them to Christ, and the guys from the saved the first week said, can women also walk with Jesus? And I said, sure they can. See, but they, up to now it was only men, and it's good for the men to take this. And so here comes these guys and bringing their wives. Some brought two wives, some brought three wives. You know, they brought all these women. Now, what would you have done? Say, now, how many wives you got, man? No, I just led them all to Christ. What would you have done? Some of you are looking at me. You mean you had polygamists in your church with two, three wives? Yeah, they had kids from all of them. You can't tear all their families apart. The first generation churches I had were rough, folks. You wouldn't even call them a church if you saw the carrying on in the church. I led them all to Christ. I counted up that it was again 40. I walked home again, another 40. I had 80 converts in one village in 8 days. That's a whole lot better than six in 6 years. And I started doing this other places. Oh, it was almost too much. You know, the joy to see the power of God unleashed. And that's what we read here in Ephesians 1. The power to usward who believe. His power to usward. That's the kranos or kranos power. It's the delegated power from God to us. Okay, and we have that. I was in a Mennonite youth conference. There was about 100 young men between the ages of 18 and 28, you know. It was for single young men. And I talked to them about the power of Jesus' name. And I couldn't believe it. These very conservative Mennonite people, they had a song, "We Have the Power in the Name of Jesus." Have you ever sang that here? "We have the power. Though Satan rages, we will not be defeated. We have the power in the name of Jesus." And they sang that thing over and over again. And I couldn't believe it. I went back to the Mennonite church. I said, "Your young men sang this song. Why don't you sing it? Oh, don't you know that song?" They said, "Oh, yeah, we all know it. We were young once. When you're young, you know, you sing the songs, choruses, but we now are grown up, so we sing the hymns." Yeah, and you lack the power, too. Oh, man. Anyway, I've got to stop. But, friends, I praise the Lord. Exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power. You can resist Satan when you're tempted. Jesus did, didn't he? He went to the desert. He didn't have to go to the desert. He never sinned, but he was tempted of Satan. Why did this whole thing happen? So that he might show us, and so that we might follow him. He was fasting 40 days. He was as weak as any man ever was. And Satan tempted him, and he said, "Satan, in Jesus' name." And oh, he didn't have to say "in Jesus' name." He was. But he did it, and Satan fled from him, and he'll flee from us. Maybe he knew, use the name of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this group of people.